Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, a broadcast from the Arlington Chamber of Commerce. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, Les Small and Vistage, Zach Applebaum, Potomac Companies, Alex Held, Arlington Chamber of Commerce, and Maribel Torres, Lumix CPAs and Advisors. We have a great lineup of guests for you on our show today. Les, will you please give us the rundown?
Sure. We have Judd Lifshitz, co-founder and co-president, Shapiro Lifshitz & Schramm. We have Bob Belair, managing partner of the D.C. office for R&L, Golden, and Gregory LLP. Ben Lieber, founder and managing partner, Potomac Law, and Scott Fredrickson, managing partner, Foley & Lardner.
Excellent. Let's get to our first guest, Judd Lifshitz, co-founder and president. I've got Shapiro, Lifshitz, and Schramm. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
All right. So what is Shapiro, Lifshitz, and Schramm? What are you guys doing?
We're a boutique law firm located in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. We have transactional practices and a construction litigation practice.
Mm-hmm. How large or how small is this firm?
We're about 15 lawyers, mm-hmm. never to grow.
All right. So and how many partners are there in the firm?
There are three partners in the firm.
Uh-huh. How long have the three partners been together?
I don't want to tell you how old I am, but uh-huh. we've been partners 30 years plus.
That's pretty rare for three partners to stick together for 30 years. That's pretty exceptional. Where are you from originally?
I grew up in New York, in Queens.
In Queens. And what was going on in your childhood that would have allowed you to develop relationships this deep where the three partners of a law firm would stick together for 30-plus years?
So I grew up in a strong family, tightly knit community of Jewish community, Orthodox Jewish community in Queens.
Mm-hmm.
And that taught me the value of relationships, which I've carried through all my life.
Give us an example. What do you mean that you learned the value of relationships, you know, growing up in that Orthodox community? What are you talking about?
Well, you know, we all have to live in walking distance to a synagogue. We all have to purchase our food from the same types of stores. We go to parochial schools. And so I went to school with the same kids from kindergarten all the way through the end of college.
So you learned how to get along with everybody.
Well, you know, that was a little bit of a rocky road, but eventually I did, right?
Well, I guess it's the same thing as developing relationships over 30 years with three partners in a law firm. You know, you really learned about relationships. Am I right or wrong about
that? Yeah, so we're literally all about relationships. Not only our partners, we have people who have worked with us for over 30 years and others who've worked with us 20 years, 15 years. So when we add somebody to our firm, we're thinking long term.
Huh, interesting. So you're really careful about the people you surround yourself with.
I need to surround myself with people who are smarter, work harder, and them have to be dedicated.
What's the benefit to your clients, considering that you've got three partners that have been together for 30-plus years and there's not a lot of turnover? Is there any benefit to the client?
Yeah, I think for sure there's benefit to the client. Obviously, on a superficial basis, there's continuity. But I think it's what we bring to the table. We are all about relationships. We're all about delivering service. And hopefully, more often than not, we deliver solutions or successes or results for our clients.
Excellent. Maribel, what do you got?
So it sounds like what you have built here is a community of lawyers, a very tight community, and in order to go into law, I would think that you're kind of pursuing some kind of injustice. I mean, is there a rebellious streak in you that you're pursuing something that seems to be an injustice?
You know, if you could talk to my parents, they would tell you, I was the rebellious one of the two of us. But I don't know that it's injustice. People are important. So even though, for example, in my little world, my practice, I'm representing companies in multi-million dollar cases. What turns me on is that I'm really representing people. I'm representing a project manager whose job's exploded. I'm representing the owner of a company who's a defendant in a bet the company case. That's really what our focus is, what my focus is.
When you look back, what were you rebelling against?
I don't know, the perfect brother? I don't know. Uh-huh. Probably. Don't tell him I said that. I wouldn't tell him I'm on the air.
You mentioned there also that when you came home at night, sometimes there'd be what was going on with Dad? It seemed like a lot of the there was a lot of respect for what Dad did for a living. What was Dad doing?
Yeah,
for a
my dad was a lawyer's lawyer. Unlike myself, who functions in the corporate world, he represented people. He represented average people. And when he would come home from his office, which was in Lower New York. There would be a stream of people coming in and out of the house. I don't know if they were paying or they weren't paying. I guess some were, and some were just seeking his advice and getting help with something.
So you saw that as a little boy. You remember your dad, people, all the neighbors in the community was coming to your dad for advice. How'd that make you feel?
Well, you know, my dad's been my role model all my life, and he was all about helping people. He wasn't about money. He grew up very poor. Never held a grudge, never had a chip on his block. He was just about helping people. And as he climbed out of poverty and built a family and built a practice with his identical twin brother, he was helping people.
You're all about
relationships.
Make a difference
if they paid him or they didn't.
So how do you define success? I think you mentioned earlier it's about relationships.
Success to us is relationships. Mm-hmm. We're proud at Shapiro, Lifshitz & Schramm that we have so many people who worked with us for so many years who started
Excellent.
Their careers with us.
Alex, what do you got?
Yeah, so tell me about how did having successful parents influence your work ethic?
So from my mother in particular, who was a school teacher, I learned that if you want to get ahead, it's not about being the smartest person, because I definitely wasn't. It was about being a self-starter and an overachiever and mm-hmm. just working hard.
Zach, what do you got?
At what age did the light bulb go off in your head that what your father was doing inspired you and that you wanted to follow in his footsteps of being a lawyer?
That's a great question. I would say probably at a pretty young age, there were two major influences, my father and Perry Mason, and I was lucky enough to be following my father's footsteps and to become a trial lawyer, mm-hmm. although I don't get people crying on the witness stand to
mm-hmm. mm-hmm. Who's got the next question here?
In all seriousness, the Perry Mason was the example of what for you?
You know, I wanted to be a trial lawyer. That's what I wanted to be. I mean, I didn't know at the time I was watching it. I didn't know while I was in law school how much stress goes along with it. But that's what I wanted to do. And
About being a trial lawyer that you found attractive?
You know, at the time, I suppose as a kid, it's sort of the, you know, the glory of being a trial lawyer. But as you mature and you go through and you find out that there's way more stress than there is glory, mm-hmm. it's about helping people mm-hmm. and it's about being successful. And I love the strategy. The strategy is probably my favorite part.
The strategy. So you really enjoy sitting down with your clients and helping them figure out what's the right way to go handle this.
Yeah. I mean, most of what we do is very, very large cases, which gives us the opportunity to do a lot and to strategize a lot and to work out a war game and see if it works, and sometimes it works, and sometimes you have to regroup and start over again.
So you learned how to study as a young boy at yeshiva. It sounds to me like that's what you're really doing, is studying these cases and figuring out the proper way to play chess.
Yeah, I'm a student of the Talmud, and I would say that it transfers to what I do.
What are you talking about?
So I give a Talmud class every night. There's a program where you can complete the study of the Talmud in 7.5 years,
mm-hmm.
and I've been doing that for 20-something years.
So you see a parallel between the study of the Talmud and the practice of law, your practice of law.
Correct.
Because there's a lot of philosophy and strategy involved.
Right. Uh-huh. A lot of thinking. You have to think a certain way.
Uh-huh. Well, that's the whole idea with studying the Talmud, isn't it? It's different ways of interpreting, different ways of seeing things, different ways of understanding.
Yeah, I would say from the intellectual aspect of it, correct. It's mm-hmm. a way to think, a way to look at things, a way to analyze, a way to infer, a way to deduce.
Mm-hmm. That's it's fascinating to me, the parallel that you're seeing there, and it makes a lot of sense to me. Maribel, what are you thinking?
There's definitely a competitive streak in you. Where is that coming from?
Oh, my God. You think I'm competitive? Yeah, I am competitive. I like to win. Where does that come from? I guess from being an overachiever.
Mm, is that mom or dad?
That's me. Uh-huh. I'm not quite sure if it's uh-huh. my mom or my dad. I went to school, I went to high school with every kid in that class was way smarter than me. For me to pass, I had to work pretty hard. Uh-huh.
Leslie, what do you got?
Well, actually, that's what I wanted to pick up on. Where does this overachiever come from? Were you always like that?
I'm sure when I was 8 years old, I wasn't an overachiever, but, I had a perfect brother who still is perfect. We'll say that publicly.
An older brother.
And uh-huh. I wasn't. So for me to succeed, I had to work harder.
Did you realize that when you were that young? How young?
I probably realized that as I was graduating from high school, getting into college and realized, you need to buckle down here and you need to work harder if you want to be at the top of your class or you want to accomplish a certain mm-hmm. goal.
Maribel?
Did you catch up to your perfect brother?
We stopped the race. He went his way, I went my way. We're still pretty close. So.
Uh-huh. So these two law partners that you have, the three of you, do you guys do you really trust each other?
So we are literally like brothers. So we've been through some difficult times together. We've been through some great times together. We socialize together. We travel together. We care for each other. It's way beyond.
So there really is a deep relationship. Because I read the newspapers. I thought, law practices were all about litigation and fighting. But it sounds like you guys really do have a relationship.
So we grew up in the industry uh-huh. when the law profession.
What is the website address for this organization?
I'm sorry?
The website address?
It's www.slslaw.com. Mm-hmm.
Let me have that one more time.
www.slslaw.com.
We've been speaking with Judd Lifshitz, co-founder and president of Shapiro, Lifshitz, and Schramm here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com. We'll be back in a moment right after this break. Want help building your business with help from this show's CEOs? Our CEOs can help you uncover more opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. And some are available to advise you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. The same CEOs you've heard on the show for 10 years may be willing to help you build your business, uncover new opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. Some of the CEOs who have appeared on our shows over the last 10 years may be willing to help you grow, assuming you're serious about your success, serious about your own success, because it all starts with the leader. If you're serious about creating your own successful business, are truly committed to putting your nose to the grindstone and doing whatever it takes to make your business successful, we may be able to match you with successful CEOs who have created millions of jobs and earned millions of dollars to help you create your success. We've established unique relationships with a unique universe of over 7,000 CEOs who have created substantial wealth for their companies, their teams, and themselves. These women and men get the build in their blood and often continue to start and build businesses even after they've created substantial wealth for themselves because they love the challenge of building a business. Perhaps we can present you and your business to some of these CEOs to gain their interest in helping you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com to hopefully match you with some of the CEOs we've had on the show for the last 10 years. mentors@executiveleadersradio.com.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak to a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-506-0320. That's 800-506-0320.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak to a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-506-0320. That's 800-506-0320.
How old are you? 25, 35, 50, or older? If you have pain, we can help. Do your knees hurt?
Ow!
Let me ask you again. Are your knees killing you?
Oh, yeah. Are they ever?
What about your back? When you bend over, does it feel like this? How about when you get out of bed in the morning? If you're like me, your knees and back feel like this.
Oh, that hurts.
I found a company called the Pain Relief Hotline. They specialize in ways to treat your knee, back, and neck pain without surgery or taking medications. The good news is if you have insurance, you may have little or no cost or out-of-pocket expense. I've used them. It works. Call the Pain Relief Hotline now for free information. 800-303-4607. 800-303-4607. Call now. 800-303-4607. That's 800-303-4607.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, Les Smolin Vistage, Zach Applebaum, Potomac Companies, Alex Held, Arlington Chamber of Commerce, and Maribel Torres, Lumix CPAs and Advisors. We'd like to introduce Bob Belair, who's managing partner, D.C. office of Arnell, Golden, and Gregory. Bob, what is Arnell, Golden, and Gregory?
Mostly an Atlanta firm, 155 there, mm-hmm. about 15 here. Mm-hmm. It is a full-service law firm. Mm-hmm. And it has been in existence since 1949.
All right. Where are you from originally?
Hartford, Connecticut.
And how many brothers and sisters?
One younger sister.
One younger sister. And I understand that when you were a kid, you got nominated to go to a special school for really bright kids when you were 12 years old. And when you got to this school, you were with a bunch of other really bright kids. What did that do to you?
First of all, it made me realize that my mother was wrong. She had assured me I was the smartest, at the time, 12-year-old
yeah.
in the country.
Yeah.
I was actually the dumbest kid in that class.
Uh-huh.
It was humbling, and it uh-huh. helped me to realize I got to work harder, and I've got to have good people skills.
Excellent. You also mentioned that in the fifth grade, you got elected to be the vice president of the grade. And how'd you go about doing that?
I politicked.
What's
I actually
that mean?
Mm-hmm. printed up flyers, mm-hmm. went around, gave out the flyers, and asked people, kids,
uh-huh.
for their vote.
When you also mentioned earlier when we were speaking that Dad had some sort of an issue going on. What was that issue, and what did that do to you?
Well, my father was a very enthusiastic alcoholic,
uh-huh.
and that meant that I had to, in partnership with my mother,
uh-huh.
really take a leadership role in the family.
Well, you didn't have to. You stepped up to the plate, though. You chose to. And I'm wondering, you know, the fact that you did choose to step up to the plate, you know, you became, you know, the unofficial man of the house. I'm wondering, how did that prepare you for your role as the managing partner, D.C. office of Arnell, Golden, and Gregory? What did you learn from stepping up then that helps you manage this law firm?
Take care of people. My sister tried to take care of my mother, friends, other family members, and that's very transferable to what you do your whole life.
That's interesting to me. Didn't you also mention that when you were a kid, ages 8 to 14, that which is not common, you reached out to your aunts and uncles? And what was that all about? What was going on there?
Building a support system. I had some aunts in particular who were very supportive and important,
and you took on the role of reaching out to them.
I did.
Uh-huh. Maribel, what kind of questions you got? What are you picking up here?
When and why did you decide that law was the profession you wanted to go into?
It's a good question. Number one, I felt like I would be pretty good at it, And number two, it seemed to me that it would provide a basis for helping people, taking care of situations.
Mm-hmm. So this is interesting. So you were the one who reached out in fifth grade to get elected the vice president. You're also the one who reached out to the rest of the family. Your nature, as Maribel pointed out earlier, is to go gather people. And what's fascinating to me is you told us that the common thread between stepping up and helping your mom and your sister out and what you're doing nowadays is helping people. That really turns you on as being in a role of support.
Really does. Yep. It's fun to help people. I think when you do that, you actually get more out of it than the people that you're trying to help.
What are you talking about? If I give of my time and energy, it's taking from me. No?
No, of course not.
What do you mean?
I think when you help people, you get a lot of satisfaction and a lot of enjoyment, and you feel like you're accomplishing something.
Well, you're not what I mean, in the news I hear about attorneys and law firms, and now you're telling me that you're running this law firm, the successful law firm, and you like giving to people as opposed to taking. That's interesting. Alex, what's on your mind?
Yeah, so Bob, how old were you when you first started making money?
I had a paper route, and I was 10.
Mm-hmm. What did you do with the money?
Well, I wish I could say that I gave it to my mother to help the family. I really didn't, but I did use it for all kinds of good reasons. I needed money.
Yeah, he was taking responsibility, Zach.
How did you translate your ambition into cultivating a successful paper route and using your skills to be prosperous?
So it's all about people, and I wanted to build my paper route, so I would go around the neighborhood and ask people if they subscribed to the Hartford Times. Most of them did not, and I was able to outreach to people, and that made the paper route more lucrative and successful.
You're not uncomfortable. You're comfortable reaching out to the aunts and uncles when in the fifth grade to be the vice president and starting this newspaper route. Les?
Yep. Yeah, I want to go back to your mom. Sounds like she had a big influence on you. What's the thing you take from her that you use today?
Well, my mom did indeed, Les, have a big influence on me. She was all alone. She was an Australian war bride. She did not have any family in this country. She had a lot of courage. She educated herself and became a real estate manager. And I think hard work and perseverance I learned from her.
Maribel, what do you got?
So I hear that you've built a paper route, you've built law firms, and you're now managing a law firm. What has fueled this ambition in you to create the way you have created?
Fear. I think, you know, I learned early on things can go wrong, and that's painful. So I never had any illusions that anything would be given to me, and that's been a motivator.
So necessity became the mother of invention?
Yeah, yeah.
And you don't like things going wrong. You like anticipating.
I do.
Maybe that's one
both
of the...
Both for my clients and for my family and for myself.
So when you're sitting down with a client, your nature is to help them try to anticipate. If you do this, this is going to happen. If you do that, that's going to happen. So
without a doubt. They don't really, if things go great, they don't necessarily need me. It's to anticipate, look around the corner to see what could go wrong.
So your role as managing partner, DC office, Arnell Golden Gregory, really fits your personality, which is to anticipate and to avoid bad things happening.
Yes.
And also to serve people. I mean, you know, you're really serving. Do you get to know your clients on a personal level?
Very much so. I've had clients that have been with me for over 30 years.
What? Wait a minute. If they're going to stick with you for 30 years, they must trust you. They must feel safe with you.
I hope so.
And you feel good about service. So it's not what I read in the newspapers. Again, I thought law was all about litigation and fighting, and that's not what you're about, though.
No, but most of the other lawyers are terrible.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Just kidding. Yeah. Actually, the profession gets a bad Right.
I was going to say, because you guys here today, you know, it's amazing to me the relationships that you're enjoying to develop and the serving. You feel like, you know, like you're comparing stepping up and helping your mom and your sister and reaching out to the relatives, you know, for support is, you know, helping teach it how to run this law practice. What's the website address for Arnell Golden Gregory?
AGG.com.
Let me have that one more time.
AGG.com.
We've been speaking with Bob Belair, Managing Partner, D.C. Office, Arnell Golden Gregory. We'll be back in a moment right after this break.
Biz Talk Radio is now available on Amazon Echo. Just add the Biz Talk Radio skills, then ask Alexa for the latest business news. You'll instantly get live, relevant information from the best business source, Biz Talk Radio. Alexa, open Biz Talk Market Tips.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. Call 800-223-0092, 800-223-0092, 800-223-0092. That's 800-223-0092.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-425-1023. That's 800-425-1023.
National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to a $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1769. 855-325-1769. That's 855-325-1769. Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, Les Spolin-Vistage, Zach Applebaum, Potomac Companies, Maribel Torres, Lumix CPAs and Advisors, and Alex Held, Arlington Chamber of Commerce. I'd like to introduce Ben Lieber, founder and managing partner of Potomac Law. Ben, what is Potomac Law? What are you guys doing?
We are a 70-lawyer, full-service, cloud-based law firm.
So as opposed to you guys having physical offices, what you've got are you've recruited attorneys that are serving their clients virtually?
That's right. They're working from home offices, so we don't have we have a little bit of office space in three different cities, but for the most part, we have very small real estate costs, and people are from home offices. We're connected by technology.
So that's a pretty innovative concept. Where were you from originally?
California through the age of 11, and then we moved to D.C.
Mm-hmm. How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have one younger brother who's 2 years younger.
Uh-huh. And how young were you when you started making money?
14. I had a lawn mowing business in D.C. With a friend. We mowed 4,000 lawns in 5 years, and it was a formative experience for me.
You had a partner, and yeah. you mowed 4,000 lawns in 5 years. What's interesting is, number one, you kept track of how many lawns you mowed. Number yeah. two, you did that many over 5 years. So you like identifying innovative business models and measuring your success. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Didn't you tell us you had an experience in France when you were about 10 years old?
That's right. I lived in Paris for 1 year when I was 10 in fifth grade. I went to a Parisian public school, and I got beat up every day for the first couple of months. My brother and I were both picked on, I would say is how I'd put it. And that was another formative experience. I learned to keep a low profile for the rest of the time.
So you were in France, and you got picked on a lot, you and your brother. Your younger brother, you were the oldest of two.
Yeah.
And so what that did is you learned how to, what did that do? It taught you what?
Well, I became more understated. I kept a low profile. I tried to keep out of trouble. Tried to navigate the social setting in a way that didn't draw attention to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, how is that aid? How does that helped? How that difficult experience help you build this law firm, this virtual cloud-based law firm?
I think in law, it's a interesting industry. It's not one where you can go out Rambo into a general counsel's office and walk out with an engagement letter. You have to really work to build trust and build a relationship over time. And I think that's a softer skill that I developed, ironically enough, getting in fights every day in France.
A softer skill? What do you mean by a softer skill? What are you talking about there?
You have to learn to listen. It's not about projecting or presenting. It's you need to understand what's on people's mind, where they're coming from, what their interests are, and that's how you build a relationship. That's how you build trust with a client. That's how you do good work.
Uh-huh. Maribel, what are you thinking? What do you got?
Well, it strikes me as that you are an entrepreneur who likes to create things from a very young age. What kind of games did you play as you were growing up?
I played a lot of competitive chess in junior high and high school.
Mm-hmm. What's that tell us about who you are?
I think that's where I learned to hone my analytical reasoning skills, such as they are. Mm-hmm. I think it also taught me calmness and clarity of thinking under pressure, a certain unflappableness that in times of stress, no matter how challenging the circumstances, there's if you think hard enough, there's usually a good line to take to get out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what makes that so important in what you do now?
Well, as a lawyer, a client is looking for somebody who can help them through tough times. And almost always it's tough times when they're coming to you. And so they want somebody who's going to think clearly, who's going to react in a calculating, calm way. I think that helps. I think also in building a virtual firm, a lot of the skill is in keeping the lawyers happy and recruiting and developing lawyers and retaining them. And I think a lot of that is learning what's on their mind and helping them manage through stressful situations.
Alex, what are you thinking?
Yeah, so tell me, how did starting a business at such a young age, at 14, I think you said, influence you to continue on and start Potomac Law?
That's when I discovered a love for entrepreneurship. I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I didn't really want to go to law school. I didn't. I'm embarrassed to say I applied to one business school and one law school, and I got rejected at business school, and I got into law school. But I always wanted to get into business, and then I had a background both in business and law. I was a consultant for a while in between my big law firms, and I really liked the idea of creating something, a business in the legal industry that was also entrepreneurial, and that was kind of the perfect storm for me starting this.
Zach?
Speaking about competitiveness, did you play any sports in high school or college?
In Russia, chess is considered a sport, so that's one. But I also did row. I was a high school rower and a college rower.
So it must be nerve-wracking right before a race. You know, you're in your seat and you're getting ready to race. How do you translate that into your business model now?
I think that when it was nerve-wracking when I rode, sitting after months and months and months of early mornings on the water and sacrificing so much to be part of the team, when you would sit in the boat about to start a race that was going to run for 6 minutes and you nerve-wracked, it's a very nerve-wracking experience. It eventually dawned on me that 90% of the work had already been done. The race was, in a sense, 90% over because you'd already done all the hard work. You're in better shape than your opponent, hopefully. And so that same realization, I think, helps in law when you go into a meeting. You're pitching the firm. Well, the hard work, in a way, is already done. We've come up with a model. We've got the lawyers. We've got the experience. And so it's just describing it. And so I think that's helped quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
You also mentioned that, actually, you were the fourth seat in rowing. I don't know much about that, but what's the significance of that relative to kind of standing out among the entire crew?
They used to call that the engine room, but we're all indistinguishable in a way from the shoreline when you're looking eight rowers pulling together. I was one of the stronger guys on the team. I was a lightweight rower. I was, part of it was my size. I'm 170 pounds, or not anymore, but I was then, and 6 feet tall. So I did pull a little bit harder than the guys who say would be in the one seat or the eight seat.
But you didn't seek out the glory of that.
No, it's very. There's nobody who stands out at all in crew.
Mm-hmm. And what's that have to do with this law firm? How come it's not called, Ben's Law Firm?
Yeah, it's interesting. That's a good point. I didn't want to name it after me. And that's one challenge we've had the whole way is if you don't name a firm after people, how do you name it?
Mm-hmm.
And so, well, the best I could come up with was Potomac Law Group, which I've come to really like. But it makes our job a little bit harder because you have to explain, why is this a law firm? Is this some sort of other type of entity that we don't even know about?
You
have to ground it when you talk to clients.
Mm-hmm.
It's very evident to me that you're a strong, quiet, strategic leader. Does that provide you a strategic advantage in terms of managing your law firm? Does it provide your law firm a strategic advantage over others?
I think so. We're not, we've grown from 10 lawyers to 70 lawyers in 7 years. We could be brash. We could be touting our success quite a bit. We don't do that. It's very quiet. We've quietly crept up on our competitors, and we've quietly grown nationally, internationally. And I think part of it is that understated approach.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about your mom. What was she doing, and what do you take from her that you use today?
She was active in politics. She was director of policy for the Democratic National Committee under Chuck Manatt. She's highly intelligent. She's in some ways opposite of, well, we're both somewhat intelligent, but I think she's much more direct, and I'm a little bit more diplomatic, but they're both very effective approaches.
Your mother was director of policy, so that's strategy?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like the apple didn't fall far from the tree, did it?
No, I think that's a fair statement. I'm also a lot like my father, who's a college professor.
What was he teaching in college?
International relations.
Mm-hmm. So what did you learn from what your dad was teaching that has anything to do with what you're doing nowadays?
How to think clearly about things, how to solve problems. He's the one who introduced me to chess at a young age. He stopped playing with me when I was 7 because he thought it was bad for his fatherly image to lose to his 7-year-old son. he did not play a lot of chess, to be fair.
Uh-huh.
But I think he introduced me to analytical thinking.
Mm-hmm. So you really enjoy the analytical thinking, but you've got to have the people skills. I guess that's one of the reasons, you know, this experience in France has had a major impact on you, because you don't want to be overstated. You know, it's like you don't have a problem being the fourth person in the boat, making sure that, you know, you're pulling harder, but not everybody needs to know it.
That's right. That's right. For example, if you look at our website, I'm mixed in with all the other lawyers. I'm not separated out as the managing partner. But that's probably true of a lot of firms these days.
Well, nonetheless, your name's not—it's not Ben's Law Firm either.
That's true.
So you know you are comfortable being in the fourth seat.
Very much so.
Uh huh. That's interesting. What's the website address for this law firm?
PotomacLaw.com. PotomacLaw.com.
And who are your clients for this firm?
Corporate, primarily. We don't represent individuals except in trust and estates matters. Mm-hmm. Large multinational companies, but also private companies. 80% of the clients are private companies, 20% public, although the 20% public is on a revenue basis, it would be higher.
What's the website address one last time?
PotomacLaw.com.
We've been speaking with Ben Lieber, founder and managing partner of Potomac Law. We'll be back in a moment right after this break. Want help building your business with help from this show's CEOs? Our CEOs can help you uncover more opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. And some are available to advise you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. The same CEOs you've heard on the show for 10 years may be willing to help you build your business, uncover new opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. Some of the CEOs who have appeared on our shows over the last 10 years may be willing to help you grow, assuming you're serious about your success, serious about your own success, because it all starts with the leader. If you're serious about creating your own successful business, or truly committed to putting your nose to the grindstone and doing whatever it takes to make your business successful, we may be able to match you with successful CEOs who have created millions of jobs and earned millions of dollars to help you create your success. We've established unique relationships with a unique universe of over 7,000 CEOs who have created substantial wealth for their companies, their teams, and themselves. These women and men get the build in their blood and often continue to start and build businesses even after they've created substantial wealth for themselves, because they love the challenge of building a business. Perhaps we can present you and your business to some of these CEOs to gain their interest in helping you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. To hopefully match you with some of the CEOs we've had on the show for the last 10 years. Mentors@executiveleadersradio.com.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-595-6619. That's 800-595-6619. Again, 800-595-6619.
I owed the IRS $10,000.
The IRS garnished my wages.
They put a lien on my house.
The IRS is the most powerful collection agency in the world. They do not give up until you pay.
I couldn't sleep. We were being audited. I called Tax Solutions Now, and a great big weight was lifted off my shoulders.
I called Tax Solutions Now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Tax Solutions Now had my wage garnishment lifted in 48 hours.
Tax Solutions Now can get you help. Our agents know the rules, can stop the pain, and get you the best deal. We connect you with a team of former IRS agents and tax professionals who will get the IRS off your back.
We saved our home and overcame the most powerful collection agency in the world.
Call Tax Solutions Now. Time is running out.
Call 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370, 800-605-5370, call 800-605-5370.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, and we'd like to introduce Steve Lorberbaum, owner of Assisted Hands Home Care. Steve, what is Assisted Hands Home Care? What are you guys doing?
We provide peace of mind and stress relief to families by providing qualified aides in their homes to care for their loved ones when they can't be there.
Where are you from originally?
New York.
New York. Whereabouts in New York?
Long Island, Lynbrook.
Uh-huh. And how many brothers and sisters?
I have two younger brothers.
And how young were you when you started making money?
Well, my first business was when I was about 12. I don't think we actually made any money. It was a student photography business where we took pictures at parties and sporting events.
Whose idea was it?
You know, it was a collective, me and two other guys. We liked photography at the time and just thought, you know, we could do this and make some money out of it.
Mm-hmm. What was the next step in terms of your making money career?
I worked at a country club as a pool attendant.
Uh-huh. And how did you enjoy that? What was the experience all about?
You know, it was a great experience just because it was my first job, real job, when I was 15. But it taught me probably my first real life lesson, which was to treat everybody equally, regardless of your station in life.
How'd you get that lesson?
You know, from the members. You know, I had a big name tag that said Steve, but they would always just call me Boy. And they would summon me. And, you know, the sun would move across the sky, and they would ask me to move their lounge chairs. Well, you would expect them to get up, but instead they would expect me just to pick up the end of the lounge chair with them in it and haul them around into the sun.
How did that make you feel?
You know, at the time it was amusing, but it made me realize that they were viewing me as some lesser person than their station in life. And I just don't think that is accurate. No one is a lesser person.
All right, I got a question for you. Your father was a rather successful businessman. How large of a business did he run?
I think when he retired, it was $500 million.
So your father's running a $500 million business, and it posed to you thinking that you were snotty and taking a better, the holier-than-thou approach. That's not the approach you took. You were really rather offended by these folks at the country club, weren't you?
You know, I don't offended is strong. I probably didn't judge him, but yeah, it's just not the way people should behave. It's not how people should treat each other.
So how's that affecting your business nowadays?
You know, that's how I run the business. I mean, everybody, no matter who they are, has an equal right. Everyone can pick up the phone. give me a call, challenge what I have to do and say, and I treat everyone as an equal, not as an employee. They're all partners with me in the business.
All right, co-hosts.
So you talked about your illness with you looking after your parents, grandparents. What did that teach you about your business, looking after elderly now and the family related to them?
Well, it's really how I started the business. I was a lawyer for 25 years, and then I ran companies for some other people. Both my parents needed aides up in New York. My father-in-law has dementia. And we just learned a lot about good care and bad care and good companies and bad. And my wife sort of encouraged me to look at this as a business opportunity, and that's what we did about 3.5 years ago.
But what do you do differently? Because you said your dad had dementia. How do you look after your customers, your clients?
Well, it's really we focus on the whole family, not just on the client, because in the end, we were the kids, and we didn't know what was going on with our parents. Doctors don't give you as much information as they should. So what we do is we view it as a holistic approach. We want the family to know what's going on. We want them to know we're out there. We're there to provide advice, counsel, and information so that we're providing a level of stress reduction for everybody. And then it makes everyone happier because they know we're on it and we're covering their parents and they don't have to worry about them anymore.
Brian?
Steve, you talked about how you spent a lot of your career managing other people's businesses or being in-house counsel and trying to provide, you know, tools to fix things for entrepreneurs. When did you decide and why did you decide that it was time for you to make the next step and go into business yourself?
So I was in my mid-50s, and I had gotten laid off by a company, which turned out to be a great opportunity. I viewed I was an entrepreneur's helper, and my wife said, you know what, you could do this. And I was very reluctant, but she really pushed me to take a look at starting our own business so that we could make a difference instead of having other people decide when my last day of work would be, that I would decide that.
What's your wife do?
She's a yoga instructor.
Okay. And she have her own business?
Yes, I guess she does. She teaches in community centers, and then she also works for a company, Lifetime Fitness.
What would your mom do for a living, and what's the similarity between your wife and your mom?
Wow. My mom was a professional mom. That's what she did.
How about personality traits?
My mom was just a very solid, you know, steadying force in the family. My dad traveled a lot. My mom managed three boys.
Did your mother encourage you?
She did.
How did she encourage you, like your wife?
You know, it was very different in that my mom sort of set the rules that there weren't any rules, that you could accomplish whatever you set out to do. My wife was there more to challenge me to go do something. She was tired of me being at home, and really just wanted me out of the house.
It sounds to me like there's a lot of similarity there. Your mother told you could do whatever you wanted to, now go do it, and so did your wife.
You know, I guess you're right. I just, you know, if you saw the two of them, my mom is about 5 feet tall and like 90 pounds, and my wife is a little over 6 feet tall. And you know, so they couldn't be different in their looks, but you're probably right. They probably have motivated me very similar ways.
All right, because your wife wanted you out of the house, huh? So are you enjoying what you're doing?
You know, I love it. It's
what do you love about it?
You know what? That we are bringing solutions to families in stress.
Yeah,
and you can sit in front of a family who are stressed out. They don't know what's going to happen with mom or dad. And by the time you're done, you can see the stress sort of melt away from their face because they know we have it. We've done this before. We can advise them, and we can set them on the path to making sure their loved one is cared for. I mean, you don't need to get paid for that. That's just a huge feeling of success.
Oh, my gosh. You really derive satisfaction. What's the website address for Assisted Hands Home Care?
Assisting Hands Potomac.
Let me have that one more time.
Assisting Hands Potomac.
.com Potomac. We've been speaking with Steve Werberbaum, owner of Assisted Hands Home Care here on Executive Leaders, as well as we've had the opportunity of speaking with Linda Rosenberg, CEO of National Council for Behavioral Health, Christine Jung, president of Blue Compass, Morale Nakashian, and Ab Blum, president and co-founder and vice president of MN Blum, and again, most recently, Steve Werberbaum, owner of Assisted Hands Home Care. I'd like to thank my co-hosts, Joe and Zach Applebaum, Potomac Companies, Brian Chandler, Pretori Law, David Farrell, Farrell Advisory, and Gwen Rosner, Flex Professionals, for giving me a hand structuring the questions, help you providing our listening audience an educational and entertaining show. I'd like to thank our listening audience for listening. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a radio show. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. It's executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, thank you for joining us today and have a nice day. Bye-bye.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. Biz Talk Radio.